It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it would be 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we just thank and praise you for every word that we have in your precious scripture. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us. Just show us, dear Father, what we're to know and what we're to learn. And just guide us today, Father, please. Just show us. Through your Spirit is the only way we can learn your will and way. It's the only way that we can understand your precious word. To be born again allows the Holy Spirit to come live within us. So we must be born again. So I hope everyone that's listening has that relationship. They have asked you into their heart to save them. Please, please, dear Lord, that they ask. And we know that you will come in if they just ask. That's all they need to do is say, I believe Jesus died for me. Please, please, your sins are forgiven, Father. They're taken away from everyone if they'll just do that. And so please today that they'll trust in you and be saved. Now guide and lead us now and show us your precious word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin this study. We have spent a lot of time on the seventh verse there, and we're really going to get on to verse 8. But first, we're going to read verse 7 and then continue. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Made herself ready. What a statement. And so now we find in the eighth verse, and we've spent almost two studies on this, and so we're going to move on to verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet and worshipped him. The fine linen being the righteousness that God gives to the saints. That's the picture we have, this fine linen is the righteousness that God gives us. The Word of God uses things to symbolize righteousness, and fine linen is something that gives us that picture and that look. The fine linen, wonderful picture and wonderful statement there. Let's go to a Old Testament and to a New, you know, because our righteousness, our own self, is nothing but filthy rags. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 64, and you'll see what I'm talking about through this verse of Scripture. Isaiah 64, and we look at verse 6. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's our condition without the Lord Jesus. We have got to be covered with the blood of Jesus. He has got to take our sins away. Otherwise, that's where we stand. And so that's our own righteousness. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the position we have when we trust in Jesus Christ. We become the righteousness of God. We possess that because we are born again. We're not perfect by any means, but our Lord died on the cross of Calvary. Our Lord saved us, took our sins away, and gave us His righteousness. And we enjoy that because of Him. So our own righteousness is of no value, but the righteousness of our Lord given to us free. It's God's grace if you just come and by faith believe. As we look at these verses of Scripture, let's compare the bride with the harlot or the whore, as the Scripture states here. The one is white linen. That's righteousness. The second, if you'll remember, was gaudy garments, godless, ungodly, worldly. This tells of the lack of character that one has over the other. One is white linen righteousness. The other is these all the earrings and all the things, you know, there's things that are tasteful. And there's things that are gaudy. They're just too much. And today, sad, because we should not have tattoos. That's something that just, you should not pierce your body. That shouldn't come. And yet today, it is so prevalent. And that is just showing us how ungodly the world is today. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have one, they're very difficult to take away. I understand that. And if you did it when you were lost, you just have to live with it. But if you're a Christian, I beg you, do not get anything like that. It shows you who you are. You're possessed and owned by the devil. Now, why would you want to do that? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. We have many verses of Scripture today. I hope that you're able to open your Bibles and follow along. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so you see, we have here, him wanting to present to his Father the perfect church. And we will, because we are sanctified, we are cleansed through the Word. And so first it begins with washed. The Scripture is very clear that you must be born again. And there is a stage in John chapter 3 there, not a stage, but a step that many miss. And let's just go back to John chapter 3, because we'll look at that. John chapter 3. And it said it was concerning Nicodemus, and that same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, that's a decision, a personal decision. You must be born again. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water and of the Spirit. Born of water is the Word. We come to the Word, and the Word convicts our heart, and then the Spirit of God saves us, comes to live within us. And so that we must have those two have to be a part of our salvation, otherwise you're not saved. First is the Word of God. The second is the Spirit of God. And those two together can birth a new child, a Christian born again. And you must be born again. So please, please look at that. Now, we've looked now at the bride and at the harlot. We've looked at how the Word is able to wash us and cleanse us. And then we find the next event. Let's kind of take a look here. The next event for the church. We're still in verse 8. Now let's keep this all on schedule. You know, we have the rapture. And that rapture we find in 1 Thessalonians. That's the next thing that's going to happen right now to us, the church. The very next event that's going to take place will be the rapture. And let me read that for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the next event that's going to take place, the rapture of the church. Now, following that, we will appear at the judgment seat. Now, we have two verses of Scripture there, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and then we're going to 1 Corinthians. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You hear the pages move by. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So see, the first thing here is going to be the judgment seat. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see those verses of Scripture. There is a judgment that's coming. And if you do things in the name of the Lord Jesus, in other words, if you give, if you help, then you're going to find that those things will be rewarded. Those will, the work that you do at the church, it can be Bible study, it can be preach, it can be a lot of things you can do around the church to keep the grounds up. It can be anything like that. However, it doesn't have to be just something related to the church, because the church building, you are a member of the church, and wherever you are and whoever you help, if you do it not for your own gain, but for the furtherance of the gospel, being a servant of Christ, then it's would be the gold, silver, and precious stones. But if you do everything for yourself, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn up. So we have first the rapture, then we have the to appear at the judgment seat. And next we have the marriage. And as we look at the marriage, we find that here in the 19th chapter, right where we're studying here. This is the marriage. And I'm going to read these verses of Scripture down through verse 10, as we have read many times. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servants and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What a wonderful verse of Scripture to read. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the next event, we will return with Jesus to reign in his kingdom. Now, the return is listed back here, if we'll look. And I heard a great voice and a multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's going to return. Then if we jump to the 20th chapter, verse 6, it speaks of the reign. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. That's the rapture, that's being born again, having that gives you the ticket to be a part of the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, that is what we're talking about, the rapture, the judgment seat, the marriage, and then to rule and to reign for 1,000 years with him. What a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful picture that we have here. And so as we look to this and we read these things, wonderful. You can today be just born once, your physical birth, born once. You're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death and a spiritual death. But if you would be born again, born twice, physically and spiritually, be born again into the family of God, then you're only going to die once. And that will be a physical death only, not a spiritual death. You'll never face a spiritual death, ever. However, as you look at this, you need to see, you need to understand that this physical death, it may not happen either. Because if the church, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18, if the church is raptured, you're not even going to have to face a physical death. What a wonderful thought that would be. Now, let's look, because it's so important that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to read some verses that may be very familiar to you, maybe not, but I want you to hear them. and I want you to think on them. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Once again, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So please today, ye must be born again. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 19. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And he says, write, blessed. What a joy to be called, to be invited, to be present. What a wonderful opportunity that we have here. These are the true sayings of God. What a promise. What a comfort. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. I told you today we were going to be in a lot of verses of Scripture, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 1. One through three. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. Holy men hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Before that, God in sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So you see, we have had so much of an opportunity to hear. These are the true sayings of God. God promised what comfort we have. The Old Testament was holy men. It was prophets. In the New Testament, God spoke through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have his precious word, Jesus' precious word here. Now we continue. Again, these are true sayings of God. First came through the prophet, now it comes through the Son. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John takes over. He was taken over by emotion, and he fell at the feet to worship him. Only problem is, the one he was worshiping was the messenger. That was the problem. He was worshiping the messenger. The messenger wanted no part of being worshiped. Worship God, he says. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, this says. And so worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To worship even the Most High of God's creatures is idolatry. So you see, we need to worship God in him only. God forbids the worship, the bowing down, the praising of anyone but him. Worship God and God alone. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with all your strength. Worship Him and worship Him only. Today, leaders of lands, leaders of religions, they expect and they demand people to bow down to them, worship them, praise them, kiss their hands, kiss their feet, fall to their knees before them. This would sure appear to be a form of worship, wouldn't it? And God says, no, we are to worship God and God alone. That's who we're to worship. The last part of verse 10 then tells us, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This messenger here is a fellow servant. It would be an angel. Having the testimony of Jesus, and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It bears witness to His resurrection. It bears witness to His presence in glory. It bears witness to His coming again, and all the blessed things connected with that day. Everything come together will come together that day. And what a day. And again, John was just overtaken, and so he fell down. But that carrier of that news says, no, Jesus is the one. The testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And here we have, again, the resurrection, the presence in glory, the coming again, all these things. All prophecy concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture proclaims, it's the proclamation of the coming events, the testimony of our Lord Jesus. It is things that He's done, He's things He's going to do. It is all in this precious Word, and it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Whether you begin with the book of Revelation, a book of Genesis, to the book of Revelation, it is all about Jesus. Many folks don't want to study the Old Testament. If you have not studied the first five books of the Scripture, which are the books of Moses, Moses, by the inspiration of the Lord, gave him the record of creation, Genesis. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you've ever listened to this program, you know I say this many times, and I believe it. You have got to study all of the Word of God, but you need to really concentrate and have a good, thorough study of those first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Don't just read them. Study them. Study them. Because if you will, you're going to have a total understanding of the creation, of the fall, of redemption. You're going to find the law, and you're going to find they can't keep the law. And so grace came into the picture. You look at these books, and especially like Leviticus, if you'll study Leviticus, then go study the book Hebrews in the New Testament. All of a sudden, it'll make all kinds of sense. If you have studied especially Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, study those. But study, don't miss Genesis. Study them. Because if you will, you can see there is so many pictures of our Lord Jesus there, clear pictures, because it's all about Jesus. All prophecy concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. All scriptural proclamations of the coming events are a testimony concerning Him, the Lord Jesus. These verses of Scripture, we're going to begin with the 11th verse next time we get together. But my dear friend, I love studying the Word of God. I love proclaiming the Word of God. But my question always returns, always, because it's depending on your relationship with Jesus. So the question must be, what are you going to do about Jesus?